welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. The green llama. You don't think llamas come in green? Depends on how often they're out in the sunshine. In New York City, I'm pretty sure you find them in all colors. Here's Dave Leese as the green llama in The Girl with No Name.
Om Mani Padme Hum. The Green Llama strikes for justice.
Time now for another exciting adventure taken directly from the files of Jethro Dumont. Jethro Dumont, the wealthy young American who, after 10 years in Tibet, returned as the Green Llama to carry on a single-handed fight against injustice and crime.
I am Tulku. When Jethro Dumont returned to America from my country, Tibet, it was with the single thought of giving help wherever it was needed, and of using his wisdom and great powers of concentration to fight all things which are evil. He became known as the Green Llama, first because he is a llama, having mastered the ancient and sacred mystic arts of my homeland, and secondly because green is one of the 6 sacred colors and is the symbol of justice. The story of the Green Llama and the Girl with No Name began late one afternoon in our apartment on Park Avenue in New York City. The afternoon mail delivery had just arrived, and I took it into the Green Llama.
Anything interesting in the mail, Tulku?
I do not think so, O Llama. There are many invitations to parties, and there are letters asking you to say that you use certain products. Why is it, Exalted One, that Americans like to bathe with the same soap used by some great one?
The important thing is that they do bathe. What is that letter?
Oh, I have not yet opened it, O Llama. It is in the handwriting of a very young person.
Let me see it. Dear Green Llama, I have heard that you will help anyone who needs help, and this is why I'm writing you. Tulku, this is interesting. Listen. My uncle is an engineer on one of the subway trains, and I think he had something to do with the number of robberies of subway change booths. I think they're planning something bigger now, and I need help, because my uncle is really a good man. Please, Mr. Green Llama, meet me at 5 o'clock tonight in the 28th Street subway station. P.S. I haven't signed my name because I don't know if you will help me or tell the police.
And there is no name, O Llama?
No, Tulku. I guess she's not too sure the Green Llama means to give help. It's almost 5 o'clock now.
It might be a trap, Exalted One.
It is better to risk traps, Tulku, than to run the chance of disappointing someone who needs help. So let's go meet the girl with no name.
There are so many people waiting for trains, my llama, that trying to find the young lady will be like looking for needle in haystack.
Yet it is written, Tulku, that the easiest way to find such a needle is to sit down on the haystack. So we'll wait, and perhaps she'll find us.
We might ask the man in the change booth if he's noticed a young girl waiting around.
All right, but I doubt if he notices anything except his change. Pardon me.
Okay, where's your dough? You want change? You gotta give me money.
No, we don't want change. We were just wondering if you'd noticed a young girl waiting around here. We were supposed to meet her, and we're a few minutes late.
A young girl? Look, Mac, 1,000 young girls pass through here every day. Who can remember one of them? My wife wouldn't like it if I could.
Well, thank you.
You don't want any change?
Not unless you've got a good bargain.
Who's got a bargain? Believe me, this old job is no bargain. You know what happened to me?
I'm afraid not.
So I'll tell you. I worked for the subway for 20 years. All day long, I'm giving people 2 nickels for a dime. 500 people a day, 365 days a year for 20 years. I push out 7,300,000 nickels and take in 3,650,000 dimes. And just as I get to be the best in the business, they change the system on me.
What is this person talking about, O Llama?
I'll tell you, Mac. I get so I can push out 2 nickels and take in a dime better than anybody else in the world. So they change the fare. So now I gotta push out a dime and take in 2 nickels. It's anarchy. That's what
Tulku, someone's in danger.
Hey, you gotta put a dime in the turnstile.
Be careful, my llama. You all right, my llama? I thought the train would hit you.
Yes, I'm all right, and so is this young lady. but someone tried to push her in front of that train.
I felt someone's hand pushing me. It was so terrible.
It's all right now.
You saw who did this, Exalted One?
No, Tulku. There was too much of a crowd around her. I got a glimpse of a hand against her back, but that was all. But I couldn't tell whether it was the hand of a man or a woman. Come, we'll get her out of the crowd.
You can't get away with it. The two of you coming in without putting dimes on the turnstiles? You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
I'm sorry, but someone was trying to kill this young lady, and there was no time to pay the fare. Tulku, give him the money.
I don't like no deadbeats. Hey, what did you say?
Someone tried to push this young lady in front of the train.
But that's against the law. Maybe she tried to jump.
I did not. I'm all right now.
Perhaps I can be of some help. I saw the whole thing.
You mean you saw her try to jump in front of the train?
No, I'm afraid someone did try to push her.
You saw it?
Yes, it was quite terrible.
Could you identify the person who pushed her?
I think so. He was a tall, dark man with a small scar on his cheek. I'm afraid I lost sight of him in the crowd.
Good. What's your name?
Leslie Leeds. You're Jethro Dumont, the Green Llama, aren't you?
Yes.
The Green Llama? Yeah, sure. I remember seeing your picture in a crossword puzzle I was doing last night. But I thought that...
Why don't you go back to your dimes, little man? Mr. Dumont, I live in the Meston Arms Apartments on Lexington Avenue. I have an appointment with a beauty parlor at 27th and Lexington, but I'll be home later. Why don't you come up and get my testimony? Maybe I'll remember more.
Perhaps I shall.
You are really the Green Llama, aren't you? I didn't think you would come.
You're the girl who sent me the letter today?
Yes. I didn't know where to turn, and I had to have help. You will help me, won't you?
Of course I will.
My llama, if this young lady is one who wrote letter, that must be the reason someone tried to push her in front of train.
I imagine so.
I don't know. I didn't tell anyone that I was writing to you.
Well, suppose you tell us why you wrote the letter.
You won't turn my uncle over to the police?
Not unless it's necessary.
Well, I'm Susan Carter. My uncle is an engineer on one of the collection trains here.
A collection train? What is that, my llama?
A train that collects the money deposited in the turnstiles at all the stations, Tulku. It usually carries only an engineer and a couple of guards. Go on, Susan.
In the past few months, there have been several robberies of chain booths right along here, always just before the collection train comes along.
That being the time when they'd have the most money on hand.
Yes, and ever since the robbery started, my uncle has been very nervous, and he's had more money than usual.
I take it that you live in close proximity to your uncle?
Yes, he raised me after my mother and father died, and he's really a wonderful man. It's just that he must have gotten into some bad company.
Maybe. What else, Susan?
Well, I'm sure they're planning something again, something bigger this time, and I'm afraid it will happen very soon. Maybe tonight.
What do you think will happen?
I don't know. Maybe they'll even try to steal the collection train. It has a lot of money on it after it has made a run.
And what did you want me to do, Susan?
Uncle George is on his last run for today, and his relief will meet him at the 23rd Street station in just a few minutes. I thought you might come along and talk to him.
Yes, I think I'd like to talk to him, especially since someone tried to kill you to keep you from seeing me. This is one time we must solve a murder before it happens.
You know, my llama, I never cease to be amazed by your Americans. Living in one of the largest countries in the world, they still have to travel underground as well as on it.
Hasn't Mr. Tulku seen a subway before?
Oh, yes. When we first arrived in America, he spent a week just riding the subway. Before that, the fastest thing he'd ridden had been a Tibetan donkey.
It is truly written that the man who travels at the greatest speed still has not added 1 minute to his life.
I suspect that most of us would be better off if we felt the same way, Tulku. Shouldn't your uncle's train be along soon, Susan?
Yes, any minute. I think that must be it now.
Your uncle's taking his time about it, Miss Susan, and he's 12 minutes late already. It's 30 years that I know George Carter now, but I never knew him to act so strange.
Why do you think he is acting strangely, Mr. Flaherty?
I've not been known, mister. What the? Are my ears deceiving me?
Mr. Dumont! What? What happened to the train?
I don't know, Susan.
Could the engineer merely have stopped suddenly? One cannot see far up the track.
They never made a subway train that could stop that quick, mister. And look, you, the traffic lights changed back to green, which means the train is no longer on the tracks.
And I've never known a subway train that could leave the tracks and fly.
Mr. Dumont, I'm frightened.
Tulku, stay here with Susan and Mr. Flaherty. I'm going to phone Sergeant Whalen. It's time to call the police when a subway train vanishes into thin air.
In just a moment, we will return to the second act of The Green Llama. But first, where were you late in April 1943? Overseas? In training camp? In a war plant? At home? It's hard to recall at once, perhaps, but at least millions of you in this country spent a part of the last Saturday evening in April listening to the hit parade on CBS, a custom you'd kept for many years. What tunes were they playing? Can you remember? You'll hear them played again on CBS tonight when your Hit Parade on Parade brings you the tunes from the Hit Parade of April 24th, 1943, dressed up in bright new 1949 arrangements. Monica Lewis and John Lawrence will be on hand to sing some of them for you. Be sure to hear tonight's Your Hit Parade on Parade and hear it every Sunday night this summer while Jack Benny is on vacation. It comes to you over all these CBS stations. Now, with our stars Dave Leese and Greg Porter, we return to the second act of The Green Llama and tonight's story, The Girl with No Name.
The Green Llama and I learned long ago that there are many strange things in the world. But even we were surprised when a subway train vanished almost before our eyes. One minute it had left the East Side 28th Street station and was approaching the next stop at 23rd Street, where we waited, and the next minute it was gone. Sergeant Whalen arrived in answer to the Green Llama's phone call, and after questioning Mike Flaherty, the relief engineer, we walked up Lexington Avenue to the 28th Street station, where the train had last stopped.
I just don't get this, Mr. Dumont. You said the train was coming right toward you when it vanished.
It is written that great events can be understood only by great minds. Old Tibetan proverb, Sergeant.
Yeah. Well, there's an old American proverb that says, I'm going to whittle you down so you'll fit through the hole on a lifesaver if you open your trap.
Stop it, both of you. This is no time for the two of you to be bickering.
Yeah? You're right, Mr. Dumont. Look, how come you didn't see what happened to that train since it was coming right at you?
We couldn't actually see the train, Sergeant. We could see the lights, and we could hear it quite plainly. Then suddenly it was gone.
You think there's some connection between the train and somebody trying to kill Miss Carter?
I definitely do, but I'm not quite sure yet what the connection is. The first thing we have to do is find out what happened to the subway train.
We'd better. Nobody's going to believe the report I'm going to have to write on this case.
Sergeant, this has been pretty trying on Miss Carter. First the attempt on her life, and then her uncle disappearing. I don't think she can tell you much, so why not let her go home?
Okay. If you say so, Mr. Dumont.
Fine. Tulku.
Yes, Olama.
Take Susan home. Stop and get the car and drive her.
But I don't want to go home, Mr. Dumont. I want to find my uncle.
We'll find your uncle, Susan. You go home and rest.
All right, Mr. Dumont. But you'll let me know if anything happens?
I will, Susan. Run along now. Tulku. Yasana athi upama gvasi.
Atmana sukham, exalted.
What were you telling him?
Merely to watch over the girl. There might be another attempt on her life, but I didn't want to frighten her, so I used the language of Tibet. Sergeant, here's the witness to the attempt on Miss Carter.
Hello, Mr. Dumont.
Hello, Miss Leeds. So this is your beauty parlor. This is Sergeant Whalen of the New York Police.
Oh, he's very handsome for a policeman.
Look, Miss Leeds, I'll want to get a statement from you on that attempted murder you witnessed.
Well, why don't you come up and see me sometime? Mr. Dumont knows where I live.
Miss Leeds, were you still down at the subway station when the collection train pulled in?
No, I left right after I spoke to you, Mr. Dumont. I've been shopping. Did I miss something?
Not very much. It's just that a subway train disappeared.
Isn't that being rather careless, Sergeant?
I'm afraid that it isn't much of a joke, Miss Leeds. Sergeant, here's the station. We'll see you later, Miss Leeds.
I'll look forward to it, Mr. Dumont.
Smart dames. You know, after being a cop for 10 years, I could get along for the rest of my life without hearing another wisecrack.
Miss Leeds is like a lot of people today, Sergeant. She has to try to be witty about everything to show that she's sophisticated. Well, here's the 28th Street change booth.
Yeah. You, what's your name?
Look, Mac, the regulations say I've got to make change for anybody, but I don't have to make conversation.
You do with me. I've got a piece of tin that says so.
A cop? What's the beef?
Did the collection train stop here a while ago?
Yeah, it always does.
Notice anything funny about it?
What's funny about a collection train? It don't do anything but collect money.
What did you say your name was?
I didn't say, but it's Harry Betts.
Well, Harry, what the sergeant and I want to know is, was everything about the collection train the same as usual? Same people on it? The same routine gone through?
Sure. George Carter was running and our guard picked up the dough while the other stayed in the train, like he always does.
When the train pulled out, was it going fast?
I guess not.
Don't you know?
Look, Mac, I see trains all day. Who knows if they go fast or slow? We ain't got the super chief down here.
Oh, there you are, Betts. What's all this nonsense about a train of ours?
I guess it ain't nonsense, Mr. Matthews. This guy is a cop, and the other one is the Green Llama.
The Green Llama? I've read about you. What have you got to do with one of our trains?
Nothing. Yet. But I hope to change that soon.
Who are you, mister?
Norman J. Matthews.
Mr. Matthews is the vice president in charge of change. You know, Mr. Matthews, I'm still having trouble with those dimes.
Just a minute, Harry. Mr. Matthews, how did you know that something had happened to one of your trains?
Why, Michael Flaherty called me.
That's the guy we already talked to, huh? What'd he tell you?
Oh, that the collection train had vanished. Obviously, he must have been drinking.
I'm afraid not, Mr. Matthews. The train has vanished.
But that's impossible.
You should have told the train that.
Mr. Matthews, how much would the collection train have been carrying in money?
Well, I only had 3 more stops after this, so... Literally thousands of dollars. Oh, this is terrible. Sergeant, why are you just standing there? I demand that you do something.
Well, Sergeant, I think I'll run along so you can do something for Mr. Matthews.
Where are you going, Mr. Dumont?
I'm going home to meditate on murderers who don't quite vanish and trains which do. Good night, Sergeant. Gakati Pakshino Piami Yavaka Vidashyanti Parishyanti Nasamsaya.
Exalted One, it is already morning and you have not slept throughout the night.
I have spent the night in thought, Tulku, and there are times when thought is more valuable than sleep.
It is truly written that through concentration man may know all answers.
While I'm taking a shower, Tulku, you call Sergeant Whalen. Tell him to meet us at the 23rd Street subway station and ask him to arrange with the train dispatcher to hold up the trains for 30 minutes while we're down there. Tell him if he'll do that, I'll find the subway train for him. Be careful of that third rail, Tulku. There are a lot of volts in it.
Yeah, Booty. You step on that and... you'll get the biggest hot foot that ever was. Mr. Dumont, I don't know where you expect to find that train up here. We combed every inch of that tunnel yesterday. The only way that the train could go was right through solid rock.
Let's see now. This must be about the spot where the train was when it vanished. Yes, this is interesting. Sergeant, did you notice this switching yesterday?
Sure, and we followed it right into solid stone about 20 feet from here. I asked that Matthews guy about it. And he said this was put in here because they had once had plans for running a subway line across here and under the East River. But they never got around to building the tunnel, I guess.
Suppose you shine your flashlight down here, Sergeant. Look at the tracks. If you notice closely, you'll see the tracks run right on in under the rock.
Well, I'll be a lieutenant's uncle.
It is written that each man sees only what he expects to see.
Quiet, Booty. Mr. Dumont, what does this mean?
For one thing, Sergeant, I think it means that your solid rock here is nothing but beaver board, which is dirty and looks the same color as the rock. Let's see.
Hey, it's a tunnel.
As I thought we'd find. I was looking at some old city blueprints last night, Sergeant, and discovered that the tunnel here was dug when the subway was first built in 1913. It runs right down to the edge of the river and stops there.
Mr. Dumont? I looked at a blueprint of this section, too, last night, but I didn't see no tunnel marked there.
For some reason, it was left out of later maps and blueprints, but at least one other man knew about it. So the switch was thrown, and the train rolled in here, and so vanished as soon as the beaver board was replaced.
But why did they need to hide the train, O Lama?
The collection train was carrying thousands of dollars, all of it in dollar bills and silver. The thieves needed time to get the money away.
There's a train ahead.
Sergeant, put your light out.
Oh, hey, you know, Mr. Dumont, this ain't so good. The tunnel's pretty narrow, and that guy can just sit back and keep the tunnel filled with lead.
But it is written that the calm man aims better than the man who is frightened. I'm going in after him, Sergeant.
Be careful, my llama.
Hey, wait.
Om Vajra Sattva.
Are you all right, Exalted One?
I'm all right, Tulku, but our man got away.
How'd he get away, Mr. Dumont? I thought you said this was a dead-end tunnel.
It is, but there is apparently an escape hatch to the street right down here. In the meantime, we'd better see about the men that were on this train.
If it weren't for that silly business of refusing to carry a gun, you could have got him, Mr. Dumont.
Yes, but then I would have been no better than the man we're after, Sergeant.
Here are the two guards, my llama. Both of them tied up and also unconscious.
This must be the engineer over here. He's not tied up, but he's got a nasty cut on the head.
Oh.
He's coming too, huh? That's good.
Oh, what's going on?
It's all right. This is Sergeant Whalen of the police, and I am the Green Llama.
Green Llama, did you get them?
No, but we will. Can you tell us what happened?
First, you're Carter the engineer, aren't you?
Yes, I'm George Carter. All I remember is that the train suddenly switched off the track and ran through a hole in the side of the tunnel. Then there was a whole gang of them with guns. Oh!
Sergeant, Carter is in a bad way. He must be very weak since the cut on his head is still bleeding. Why don't you take care of the guards while Tulku and I take Mr. Carter home? You can get his full statement later, but right now we need to concentrate on saving his life. Well, Mr. Carter, now that you're home and have had a chance to rest a little, I'd like to talk to you.
Uncle George! Oh, Mr. Dumont, did you find him? Uncle George, are you all right?
Yes, Susan. Just a little weak, that's all.
Your uncle will be all right, Susan. In the meantime, I'd like to talk to him for just a minute alone. Then you can put him to bed and nurse him.
But...
I think you'd better do as Mr. Dumont asks, Susan. Go to your room for a few minutes.
All right, Uncle George.
Why didn't your friend come up with us, Mr. Dumont?
Tulku, stay down in the car, Mr. Carter, to cover the front entrance of your apartment. We don't want someone trying to kill you.
But why should anyone try to kill me?
Mr. Carter, men who know too much are always dangerous.
I don't know what you mean.
I think you do. Mr. Carter, if you had not been involved in this thing, you would have been able to have stopped your train as soon as it turned off on the spur track. You weren't going fast.
That doesn't prove anything.
Also, Mr. Carter, that cut on your head is a fresh one, made only a few minutes before we entered the tunnel today, and it was done to help give you an alibi.
Well, what kind of man are you to know these things?
I also know your confederate, and it's only a matter of time until this is all over, Mr. Carter. I don't know how you got into this thing, but you owe it to Susan to...
Oh.
That must be your confederate now, Carter. Open the door.
I can't.
You must. If you're innocently involved, I'll help you, for Susan's sake. Open the door, and I'll do the rest.
All right. I hope you mean what you say, Green Llama. You? What? Oh, Green Llama, you said...
Carter. Go on.
I heard... Uncle George!
Susan!
Oh.
Susan, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid your uncle is dead.
Oh.
Susan, you must have courage. Your uncle did. He was trying to help me when he was killed, and his killer must not escape. It's possible the Tulku managed to stop him. Call Sergeant Whalen and tell him to come here to the apartment.
Mr. Dumont, luckily I had just gotten back to the headquarters when the call came. What happened?
Someone killed Carter upstairs in his apartment, and just as he was about to give us some help. The murderer escaped, and I think he held a gun on Tulku and took him along.
Booty kidnapped? Say, that's too bad. Want me to put out a general alarm for him? Oh, which one of your cars was it?
The Yellow Nash, Sergeant, but I expect to find him before then, even if I have to take someone apart. I've just been waiting for you. You go on up to the apartment, and I'll see you later.
Good luck, Mr. Dumont.
Hello, Mr. Dumont. I was just coming to look for you.
Hello, Miss Leeds. Why were you looking for me?
I was driving by here not long ago, and I saw that friend of yours. You know, the Chinese?
He's Tibetan, but go on.
He was just driving off, and with him was the man who tried to push that young girl in front of the train yesterday. You know, the man with the scar. It looked to me as if he were making your friend go with him, so I followed them.
Good girl. Where did they go?
They parked on Lexington near 42nd Street, and then went down in Grand Central. I followed part way, and I think I can take you where they are.
It is written that he who hesitates has offended opportunity. Let's go, Miss Leeds.
This is an abandoned part of the old subway under Grand Central Station, Mr. Dumont. It runs just below the New York Central Railway tracks. I believe the subway company still uses it to park some of the trains when they're not rushed, but that's all.
And this is where you saw the man take Tulku?
Yes. I was afraid to follow any farther.
All right, baby. You don't have to stall anymore. I've got him covered.
Hello, Harry. I gather you got so tired of changing nickels into dimes you decided to go into business for yourself. So you pulled a number of small robberies and then decided on the biggest haul of all, the collection train itself.
Yeah, and it's paid off in spite of you snooping around. I guess the Great Green Llama ain't so great after all. How come you don't act surprised to see me?
I'm not, Harry. I knew you were in this ever since the train disappeared.
Yeah? How?
You made one slip when Sergeant Whalen and I were talking to you. You knew something happened to the train, yet no one had mentioned it. That was careless of you, Harry.
Oh, yeah? Well, it ain't gonna make any difference now. Don't try any of your tricks, because I got you covered.
And so have I, Mr. Dumont. I don't doubt the Green Llama is clever, but you can't get both of us.
Oh, but I did, Miss Leeds. I knew about you even before Harry made his slip.
You are clever, Mr. Dumont. It's too bad we're on different sides. You and I would have made a great team.
Hey, cut out that kind of talk.
Why did you suspect me, Mr. Dumont?
Your description of the man who tried to push Miss Carter in front of the train, Miss Leeds. I think you pushed her yourself, then when you saw it could be made to look like an accident, you became a witness. But you should have studied the facts about witnesses.
Meaning what?
Meaning that nearly all lying witnesses describe their mythical men as tall and dark with a scar on his face.
Very interesting. But unimportant now, Mr. Dumont.
I suppose it seems that way. Harry, look at me, Harry. Om, mani padme hum. The Green Llama strikes for justice.
No! Stay away from me, Green Llama. You'll never take me. You'll never... Ah!
Ah! Harry!
And now, I'll take your gun, young lady.
Harry! He fell right on the third rail.
Yes, it's too bad, Miss Leeds, but the electric chair would have done the same thing to him.
We could have gotten away.
It is written that man can never escape from the evil he does. Nor can woman, Miss Leeds. It was you who killed George Carter.
How did you know that?
I guessed it from the fact that George Carter was surprised when he opened the door. He was expecting Harry, and so he wouldn't have been surprised if it had been Harry. But an examination of your gun will prove it, I think.
Oh, you already got everything under control, Mr. Dumont.
Yes, Sergeant, but how come you're here?
I made him come, Mr. Dumont. I was looking out the window when I saw you get in this woman's car. I've heard enough Philip Marlowe shows to know the type. I knew she just wasn't any good, so I made Sergeant Whalen follow you.
We lost you when you came underground, and it took a little time to find where you'd gone. What's that?
I hope it's Tulku. Sounds as if it's coming from this storage place over here. Let's look. It is Tulku, bound and gagged but safe. Just a minute, my friend.
Do me a favor, Mr. Dumont. Leave him that way for just a few minutes. It's the first time I've seen him when he couldn't make up one of his Tibetan gags.
My humble Tibetan bones are sore, but thanks to you, O Lama, I did not suffer more than that.
I wouldn't know what to do without you, Tulku, so it was either rescue you or be lost. Hand me tonight's paper, will you, Tulku?
Exalted One, what is to be the fate of little Miss Carter now that her uncle is dead?
I've already arranged to make her my ward, Tulku, and tomorrow we will see about enrolling her in a good school. Listen to this, Tulku. Hong Kong, China. It was rumored in the International Quarter of Hong Kong tonight that a beautiful Eurasian woman was offering a pair of chopsticks for sale for $1 million. This is a sale that interests me, Tulku. I think we'll file this clipping under the heading of The $1 Million Chopsticks. Om Mani Padme Hum. The Green Llama Strikes for Justice.
You've been listening to a lost old-time radio show, The Green Llama, presented by American Radio Theater. It was called The Girl with No Name. In our cast, you heard Dave Leese as Jethro Dumont, Greg Porter as Tulku, Fred Hopkins as Harry Betts, Karen Leese as Susan Carter, Jennifer Newton as Leslie Leeds, Pat McNally as Sergeant Whalen, Dan Schindler as Norman J. Matthews, and Kim Turner as George Carter. This episode was originally broadcast on June 19, 1949, and Paul Frees starred as Jethro Dumont with Ben Wright as Tulku. Music was by Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Welt. Directed and produced by Joy Jackson. Gong was played by Linda Rasmussen. I'm Ken Leese, your announcer, who you also heard as Mike Flaherty. This is ART, the American Radio Theater.
Let's have a listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
You know, the only time I've ever seen Laura Leslie and Don Cornell quarrel was over a gin rummy game. And that was because Don taught Laura the game and couldn't figure out why he was losing. But when the kids get together on a song, they're pals again. Here are America's Sweethearts.
If you think candy's sweet, there's a girl you ought to meet. Sugar drips from her lips when she sighs. But the love light that lies within my baby's eyes, how it lies, how it lies, oh, how it lies.
He has style, he has charms, and a pair of loving arms that I'm dying to try on for size. But the love light that lies within my baby's eyes, how it lies, how it lies, oh, how it lies.
Her name tops the list of every florist. Her bows are standing 10 deep in line.
With all of the trees in the forest, why should I be the only clinging vine?
Oh, there's heartbreak in store when the one that you adore is a devil in an angel's disguise. For the love light that lies is the love light that dies when it lies, when it lies, when it lies. Oh, how it lies.
Here's a song we've kept in our dusty manuscripts because it drew 5 encores the first night we played it at the old Varsity Inn at Ohio U, soon after the band was organized. As you desire me, so shall I come to you. However you want me, so shall I be. Don Cornell and the Three Cadets always get an encore when they sing this song from our dusty manuscripts.
To spend one night with you in our old rendezvous and reminisce with you. That's my desire. To meet where gypsies play, down in that dim cafe, and dance till break of day. That's my desire. We'll sip a little glass of wine, I'll gaze into your eyes divine. I'll feel the touch of your lips pressing on mine. To hear you whisper low,
just when it's time to go, Sherry, I love you so.
That's my desire.
So relax with us and listen as lovely Laura Leslie sings a song that's popped throughout the nation.
I'm as corny as Kansas in August. I'm as normal as blueberry pie. No more a smart little girl with no heart. I have found me a wonderful guy. I am in a conventional dither with a conventional star in my eye. And you will note there's a lump in my throat when I speak of that wonderful guy. I'm as bright and as daisy daisy in May cliche coming through. I'm bromidic and bright as a moon, happy night, pouring light on the dew. I'm as corny as Kansas in August, high as a flag on the 4th of July. If you'll excuse an expression I use, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with a wonderful guy. Daisy in May cliche coming true. I'm bromidic and bright as a moon, happy night, pouring light on the dew. I'm as corny as Kansas in August, high as a flag on the 4th of July. If you'll excuse an expression I use, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with a wonderful time.
A couple of weeks ago, when I was looking for a sweet trumpet player, a young fellow named Bob Bonstand came up to the bandstand to try for the job. I asked him to play a song that I think is one of the loveliest ever written. He played it so well, I'd like for you to hear him. From my dusty manuscripts, Bob plays When Day Is Done. Thank you.
comes to real all-weather performance, we'll take Chrysler's wonderful new waterproof ignition system. And when it comes to trios, it's the dashing 3K desk.
Now, amongst the sheltering ponds, oh honey, wait for me. Oh honey, wait for me. Don't be forgetting we've got a date out where the sun goes down about eight. How my love is burning, burning, burning. How my heart is yearning, yearning, yearning to be down. Among the sheltering ponds, oh honey, wait for me. Down. Among the sheltering ponds, oh honey, wait for me. Oh honey, wait for me. Don't be forget we've got a day. Out where the sun goes down. Come on, in. How my love. It's burning, burning, burning. How my heart is yearning, yearning, yearning to be down. Among the sheltering ponds, oh honey, wait for me. Oh honey, wait for me. Oh honey, wait for me.
I was in Hollywood, Frank Lesser, one of our best songwriters, played a number for me. He told me he didn't expect it ever to be much of a success. But, as it turns out, Frank is a very good songwriter, but a very bad prophet. America's Sweethearts, Laura Leslie and Don Cornell sing it for you now.
I really can't
but stay. But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
but
away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening is
been free. Hoping that you drop in.
Very
I'll nice. Hold your hands there just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
and
hurry?
Father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so really,
roar.
I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please
well,
don't
maybe
hurry.
Just a half a drink
put
more.
Some records on while I
the
fall.
The neighbors might
but baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this
no
tree?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew
your eyes
how
are like starlight now. I'll take your hat. Your hair looks
I
well.
Ought to say no, no, no,
mind
sir.
If I move
at
closer.
Least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't
oh, baby,
stay.
Don't hold out. Maybe it's cold outside.
I've gotta get
but
home.
But baby, you'd freeze out there.
Say, lend me a
it's up to your knees out there.
You've really been
I
grand.
I will when you touch my hand.
But don't you see?
How can you do this thing to
there's
me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong
at
sorrow.
At least there will be plenty implied.
If you caught pneumonia and died.
I really can't
get
stay.
Over that old doubt.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Ah, but it's cold outside.
Let's forget what I've been saying.
You mean that you're staying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Baby, it's cold outside.
Chrysler Plymouth Theater from South Carolina dropped into one of our rehearsals. and he must have really liked the way Tony Lamo sang our next tune, incidentally his latest Victor record. At least he said that he could listen to Tony sing it all evening. Well, we hope you folks enjoy hearing it as much. Come over here, Tony, and sing it for us, will you?
Out of plans, out of schemes, and I've just about run out of dreams. Oh, what a fix I'm in, since you're out of love with me. Out of words to explain why I wander around in the rain, trying to figure out why you're out of love with me. It was out of this world when you were mine alone, to be out of this jam, I'd give everything I own. Out of smiles, out of laughs, when I look at those old photographs, the happy times we had only seem to make me blue. You may say it's all over, but I can't believe we're through. Though we're on the out, I'm not out of love.
Optometrists, the dashing three cadets.
Your lips tell me no, no, but there's yes, yes in your eyes. I've been missing your kissing just because I wasn't wise. I'll stop my scheming and dreaming, 'cause I realize your lips tell me no, no, but there's yes, yes in your eyes.
in my spare time, I like nothing better than to take candid camera shots. And here's one picture I'm going to take right now. Tony Alamo with the K Choir in the background as they sing Lover's Gold.
Once there was a kiss, a kiss made out of gold, made of lover's gold, because the kiss was true. Once there was a fool who shared this lover's gold, but just like a fool, it's worth he never knew.
Now he walks alone.
About the tale I've told is that I'm the fool who wasted lover's gold.
Recorded a tune for Victor, and now you've picked it as the Chrysler Song of the Week. And three of the reasons why the tune is such a success are standing next to me now. Here they are to sing it for you. The Three Cadets.
If I said a rose to you for every time you made me blue, you'd have a cried all night, you'd have a room full of roses. And if you took the petals and you took them all apart, you'd be tearing at the roses just the way you tore my heart. If someday you're feeling blue and you could send some roses too, well, I don't want a room full of roses. I
I've got time for today. Please check out our website, www.americanradiotheater.org, and have a listen to some of our podcasts. You know, we put up a new one every month. For 12 hours of old-time radio listening, stop by radioadofthepast.org for their next marathon in the Fred Bertelsen Room. That's going to be on August 15, 9 a.m. Pacific, that's noon Eastern, until 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Thanks. See you there.